You are now listening to the Two Dads Run podcast, just two dads who run, talking about running and being dads and some other stuff.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. My name is Gray.
This is Kevin.
And we are your hosts for the Two Dads Run podcast. Got a really fun show for you today. No guests or anything, but we are going to recap our trip up to Baltimore for the Believe in the Run headquarters launch party. A couple fun stories came out of a pretty short weekend. Kevin tried to get us killed, had his first Orange Crush and first Natty Bows, but we'll get to all that. But first, Kevin, how's it going, man? How's training? You're back into some serious training now. So finally, welcome to the party. How's it going?
It's fantastic, man. I'm goodness tired every single day, but right now I'm just, it's been great. I went out, did a swim this morning, did a run for lunch, and just literally put the girls down. But they had their very first swim meet.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Oh man, it's one of those moments, having two girls and then seeing them. The one thing I don't want to do is put my passion and my dreams onto them. It's whatever they want to do, but I wanted them to get into swimming, and it's the neighborhood club team. They compete with other teams and they loved it. Just the camaraderie with the girls. It was actually a girl versus boy meet, and okay, both girls did phenomenal. They went off the blocks with no fear, belly flop, face plant, and made daddy, mommy and daddy proud. But it's been a fantastic week since the last time we connected. I mean, it's only been a few days since you and I.
Yeah.
It's
probably good for us though. We were together for 72 hours straight.
Man, I tell you, it's been a while since I had to share. We didn't share the same bed, but we shared.
Damn right we did.
We shared a room with another man no one else for 2 days. But that was fun. I know we've got a lot to talk about, a lot of awesome and funny stories about that. But what about you, man? How's your training going?
Man, it's good. I'm tired. I've actually I've missed a workout. I think one. We may be up to two now. But I'm at that point in the program where I have 9 sessions in 6 days. So almost everything is a 2-a-day. And I kind of screwed myself up from a scheduling standpoint. The fatigue hasn't been the issue. That's not why I've missed a workout or whatever. I kind of went off program in the beginning of the week. I haven't told you this is the first
time. I'm hearing this for the first time. I will keep my emotions in check.
Kevin, my coach, is hearing this for the first time. But yeah, so I went off program and ran with Harry Tuesday morning. First time we've run together in quite a while. So,
and real quick, I mean, so Harry's background.
Yeah. So Harry ran for Dartmouth, super fast guy. So he's still very much in the sport, and he's an incredible athlete and runner. So went running with him. We actually did a really good job of managing the pace. Typically when I go out with him, it's fast, much faster than I want it to be. Let's put it that way. But this time we kept it cool. I was disciplined in the pacing, and we did some trail running. So that kind of naturally, we did the single track around Bond Lake.
Okay.
Which kind of makes you run slower, right? You can't put down, or you can, but I wouldn't advise it, putting down like a 7.5 minute mile around that thing. But anyway, we ended up going like 50 minutes, which was definitely longer than I wanted to go, longer than anything on program. So it's kind of screwed up the scheduling of my entire week so far. But did an early morning swim yesterday, have an early morning swim and run tomorrow morning. So I'll be in the water at 5:30 in the morning. So we gotta get out of here at a decent time tonight. But I feel good. An hour on the bike today. Okay. I have a story. This is another thing I haven't shared with you yet.
Goodness.
Yeah.
What kind of coach am I?
Well,
you have open access anytime, and
you just wait
till we get to the podcast to drop these bombs.
Yeah. So this is less of a bomb and more of a funny story. So we've before I got started, we talked a lot about how I was likely going to fall on the bike, right? Yeah. Haven't really, and before yesterday, I hadn't really fallen. I fell when the flat tire happened, but that was just me trying to bail, not wanting to mess up my rim, and just couldn't get unclipped fast enough, kind of just fell over into the grass. I had what I would qualify as my first fall yesterday.
Ooh.
I was on the trainer.
On the trainer? You didn't even take it out on the road.
How'd that happen? I fell off the trainer. I guess I didn't have the bike on there good enough.
Oh.
And I was...
You didn't have the skewers all the way?
Yeah, I guess the skewers weren't locked in there good enough, and I was messing with my watch because my cadence and speed sensors were not connecting to my watch, which is what was tracking my workout. And I sat up in the saddle messing with my watch, and I fell over.
Too bad you don't have like an in-home security camera that would have recorded that shit.
Priceless. Yeah, and... The whole time I'm cursing up a storm because I'm scared I've just messed up the bike.
Oh, you thought you bent it.
The connection, the pieces that grab onto the skewer were like all up in the spokes of my rear tire. And I was, oh man.
What time of day was this again?
This was like 5:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, in the afternoon.
And I was pissed. I'm sitting there, I'm trying to get this workout done. I'm already exhausted because I had been up since 4:15 in the morning. Sophie comes rolling in to our bed, and then I knew my alarm was going off at 5, so I couldn't sleep knowing that that was about to happen. Then I go in the pool, and I'm training some people this week, so that's mentally draining on top of it. Trying to squeeze this workout in because I was going to come over here, and we were going to record this podcast, and then I fell off the damn trainer.
That's awesome.
Had bike chain grease all over my leg and just, yeah, it was embarrassing. Thank God no one saw that.
That's the first, as far as I hear people, their first fall on the bike being on the trainer. Because usually it's on the road, and the ones that hurt the most are those slow motion falls. It's the slowest fall and you hit that ground so hard. But
I would suspect that the amount of people that have fallen off an indoor trainer is probably pretty low when you compare it to falls on the road. So,
Yeah.
So. I wear that dubious distinction of, it is what it is.
That was your punishment for
getting
off the plan on Tuesday.
Yeah, I know.
To get back on it.
Well, and so, I mean, honestly, dude, I did not realize that there were so many workouts this week. This was a giant departure from where we had been of, basically, two cycling sessions, two running sessions, two swimming sessions. Now we're three of everything all of a sudden, and I hadn't looked far enough ahead. So I just didn't know. I didn't know it was coming. I will not be doing that again. I will stick more closely because basically once you're behind, you can't catch up.
Yeah.
And just there's too much. And so my plan, I missed a fartlek run. I was going to do that after cycling for an hour today. And my legs were not feeling it. So I'll get up tomorrow, go swim, go run, and we'll get back on track for the rest of the weekend.
Sounds good. And I mean, just like with any training plan, and that's the thing too, I've told you and I've got another athlete that I'm training and some of the other ones in the past, is just really do what you can. It's life. You want to have fun with it and sticking to a 100%. Yeah, would that be badass and great? Yeah, you probably show up on race day ready to just tear it up. But you've got work, you've got husband responsibilities, father responsibilities, podcast responsibilities. We've got a lot of stuff going on. So it's all about having fun no matter what, even when you're in the peak phase, because you're right now in the base to build. Yeah. So your mileage and your time is definitely picking up. So just have fun with it. And if you need me to dial it back a little bit, just look at the next couple of weeks for sure.
I'll be fine. I'm actually kind of digging it. I'm really happy about the 3 days of swimming.
You know,
I'm kind of terrified of Saturday's or Sunday swim. I've got,
cause it's really just going out and just swimming.
Well, no. I've got one more session of, cause I have looked ahead a little bit on the swim. Because as we all know, I'm kind of scared of it. So I've got one more session of the... So tomorrow I've got 5x100 meters with 5-second rest in between, which I accomplished.
Oh, yeah.
On... What's today? Today's... on Wednesday. So I was able to knock that out with the prescribed rest, which virtually should not even exist. 5 seconds is nothing. So I've got that tomorrow, but then on Sunday, I've got eight reps of that with a 5 second rest. Dude, that's going to be brutal. If I get through that, you won't be able to tell me shit, dude.
I'll tell you, let's see, Sunday, you know, I'll take it easy. Cause Adria's birthday is this weekend and have a couple surprises in store for her, but I can't do, you know, now that I'm in it, I can't like yeah. last weekend, you know, we kind of derailed the training program for you a little bit and myself on a fantastic,
yeah,
you know, voyage to be more. So you want to talk a little bit about that? You ready to
yeah, kind I think of rehash some of the yeah, I think everybody's memories. Probably sick of hearing our training. But yeah, so you guys have heard us talk about it quite a bit here recently. We took a trip up to Baltimore. My old stomping grounds, lived up there for a year when Kristen and I had first gotten married. So we went up there for Believe in the Run, their headquarters launch party, and it was a blast. Getting there was a little dicey. Kevin, how long did it take us to get there?
I mean, we were pushing 7 and some change. Yeah,
I think we were a little over 7.
Yeah, I mean, between 7 and 8.
It was brutal. And I mean, it was kind of funny because, you know, Kevin has lived in North Carolina for a large portion of his life, done some bigger cities, right? You lived in Indy for a while. Mm-hmm. You guys lived in St. Louis for a while too. But if you guys are not familiar with the Northern Virginia kind of DC metro area, it is a special kind of traffic, and it is all the time, every single day. And especially when you are coming up 95, so you're coming from North Carolina from the South and you're coming up 95 and you hit basically Frederick, the other side of Richmond, you know, Fredericksburg and all points north, right? It is just absolute gridlock all the time. So we're sitting in this traffic and I'm like, yeah, this is going to take a while. And Kevin looks at me and goes, well, what's going on? Is there like a wreck up here or something else? No, it's Friday. Like, it's just another day. It's like this all the time.
I think that was around.
And this was like at noon. Yeah.
I was like, people still working and people working from home. Why is it busy?
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. There's just so much traffic there. And it continued basically all the way to almost all the way to Baltimore. I mean, so from Fredericksburg, Virginia. I mean,
it was all the way to Baltimore. Yeah. I remember getting off the exit in downtown Baltimore, like,
shit. Yeah, and that was the first time it had let up. So from Fredericksburg all the way to Baltimore, it was just bumper to bumper. And it was surprising that on a Friday that many people were heading north. You would think in July on a Friday, you'd have a lot of traffic heading south. And there was a lot. Right. There was just as much, if not more, heading south than there was going north.
Yeah. I felt like we were in the, I'm not sure if you remember the band REM, the music video back when MTV used to play.
You're old as fuck.
And there was seriously one, I think it was where they're all in stop traffic. And that's what kept replaying in my mind when we were in this traffic. And it's like, everybody hurts. And oh, it was just,
please don't.
We just lost every
listener we had. Then,
I really did feel like we're in an REM music video and just wanted to get out of my car and start walking on other cars. It was,
might have gotten there faster,
but you know what? It was worth it. By the time we got there, we were exhausted.
Yeah.
But it was only,
it was like
still early in the afternoon.
Yeah. It was like 3:30, 4 o'clock. So we get to the hotel. They're having technical difficulties, so there's a mass of people in the lobby. They've got one hotel manager that's pouring champagne for everyone, and just to kind of keep everybody from flipping out that they can't be checked in right now. Fortunately for us, it was a pretty short wait, so we just kind of hung out, had a glass of champagne in the lobby, and then got to go up to our rooms, change clothes real quick, and then went for a run. So we were staying on Central and Eastern, kind of in Little Italy, if you're familiar with Baltimore City. And
it was what, True by Hilton?
Yeah, it was a True by Hilton. Cool really, hotel. Yeah, really neat new concept for Hilton. So I actually, as a former hotel, you know, hotel guy, I talked to the manager a little bit and got the lowdown on True. So yeah, really neat little concept. But anyway, so we were going to go for this run, and we were going to, my plan was to run down Eastern to Patterson Park, do a loop around the park, and then head back down towards the water, which is a much nicer run. but I had highly overestimated my memory of the city and Patterson Park. So we ended up kind of running around aimlessly in the park for a while, find our way out of the park. And then by the time we were going to get close to the water, it was kind of like, okay, this run's pretty much over. We were, you know, it's sitting in a car for 7 hours and then hopping out and getting out for a run right away is not ideal.
Having a few glasses of champagne and then the humidity and heat.
Yeah, it was super hot.
Made it for a fantastic Friday afternoon run.
Yeah, it was super hot and it looked like it was going to storm. So we ended up shutting it down and went back to the room, changed clothes real quick, and then set out to find somewhere to eat. And we ended up at this cool little spot on the right on the water, right on the harbor that I hadn't been before, called Bar Cocina. It was okay. What'd you think about it, dude?
I mean, for that spot, no, I mean, it was a nice taco spot. I'm going to paint a picture where it just sounds very romantic, but no, it was cool. The view where we're at,
total bro date
of the harbor, and then everybody, and I love the people watch. I think everybody probably can admit, like, you find an awesome spot like that. You could just sit there all day and all night, just watching the different people going by. But the view, you had the Under Armour headquarters right across the harbor. And I mean, it was just, the heat obviously had turned down a little bit, so it was cool just to be outside.
And that was your first trip to Baltimore, yeah?
No, I've been up there. Okay. Yeah, with my prior career, our headquarters was outside of Baltimore in Columbia.
Okay.
But we would stay in the Inner Harbor.
Sure.
So familiar with that area, but we never got a chance to venture out because that company thought it was a smart idea to have the national convention in January in Baltimore.
Oh, nice.
And every year. And
not they would cold at all.
They would, I mean, they never learned their lesson every year. I mean, and we had offices at that time in like Alaska, out west in California. And every time the first day and a half was always postponed because half of the country can never get in because of the snow.
Yeah.
So I've never actually been to Baltimore when it's been like this weather.
Yeah, when it's
always nice. Been when it was just shit.
Yeah.
But
when it's hot as balls.
It was cool, man.
As shit.
You know, I think it was just cool to be up there to just take it all in. I mean, that was the first time in a long time being away from the wife and kids. And I know with you, that was the first time with Sophie.
Yeah.
So it was really just to, you know, I guess really be grateful and appreciative of where we're at and just get ready to have a lot of fun. And I mean, with what we were doing, I think I ended up with like 3 margaritas and I think in a Bud Light to just kind of wash it all down. And I'm like, oh yeah, we've got that 5K in the morning we've got to do. And I kept telling myself, I'm going to run it at my pace. But I know whenever I run with you and then running in that group, I'm like, there's a good chance though, it's not going to be my pace. It's going to be somewhat at a elevated, almost like a race pace.
Yeah.
And sure enough. So we kind of shut it down after dinner.
Yeah. I mean, I was really proud of us. Night. Yeah, I was really proud of us for keeping it calm that first night, because that's always the most difficult night, right? You get into town or you get up with some buddies you haven't seen in a while, or you get away from the wife and kids or you know, whatever. You get together with family. That first night is always hard, and you wake up the next day and you feel like shit. But I was proud of us. We had approached it as a work trip.
Yep.
Because it was going to be a really cool opportunity to kind of hang out with some people that had been around doing this kind of thing for quite a while and to really pick their brains on some things and learn some things from them. And we're going to get to that definitely. But we got up the next day, hit up some breakfast at the hotel, which was actually surprisingly not bad. At least my oatmeal wasn't. I don't think you were too stoked with your eggs, huh?
All right. So, you know, if this is also giving a review on True Hotel, you know, the champagne was cool when we got there. I like the amenities. I mean, they're pretty modern. The rooms were nice. Breakfast, in my opinion, was shit. I mean, those eggs, literally, you could have just picked it up in like a scoop, a handful, and just, and it would just went, just like powder. I mean, those things were so dry. And then it was funny watching people on the pancake machine. I didn't want one because I didn't want to act like, I didn't want people to see me what I was watching people do, because you didn't actually have to do anything. But there was, you know, when, you know, like those sensors with the paper towels in the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's a sensor on the pancake. Never seen it before, so I wasn't even going to try it. There was a pancake. It looks like somebody gave up and it like had slid out. And it looked like a good, thick pancake. Like, man, pancake looks good, but I don't know how to work this contraption, so I'm not even mess with it. And I walked away. So I ended up getting a toasted bagel with an everything bagel with cream cheese. So that's all I had, and coffee. So the breakfast, in my opinion, was meh. But it was funny. Just I would look over my shoulder and see these people just like kind of like monkeys, like just trying to get these pancakes out. And it was funny.
It is a very entertaining machine. We had one at one of the hotels that I worked at. And it is fun to just kind of sit back and watch
the concessions people there at the hotel. Just, and then, you know,
those come into play again at one point.
Yeah. I got a chance to experience it again at 2 a.m. Like, all right, you know, I'll give it another shot, but we'll get to that piece. But so, yeah. So my breakfast was a little different from yours.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a
creature. If you go to True.
Yeah. Eat the oatmeal.
Eat the oatmeal. That's about the only thing. Or
if you're well versed in the operation of these little pancake machines, go for that too, because they did look pretty much.
Yeah, I wish I like took a picture.
It's a little heavy for a 5K run in 92 degree weather.
So anyway, breakfast.
Yep. So we have some breakfast and we walk down, because we were only like a couple of blocks away from the headquarters. The Believe in the Run headquarters is right there on Eastern Avenue. So we walk down there. We're the first ones there. We're pretty early, so we offer to help, or you know, if they need anything, we're just gonna hang out and wait for people to show up. So they did have ASICS there. So ASICS was setting up tables for shoes. So they were doing shoe demos. They had the Metaspeed Sky. They had the Magic Speed. They had the Nova Blast 2. So they had some cool shoes out that we could try. And so you and I both slapped on a pair of the Metaspeed Skies. It was our first run in those. And let me tell you, those shoes are sweet. I mean, we've talked about my experience with the Vaporfly Next Percent a couple of times on the show.
What did you walk up to the 5K when we went to the headquarters that you were going to race in?
So we were in Baltimore for a total of maybe of less than 48 hours. And I brought six pairs of shoes to Baltimore. So I brought my 1080s just to kind of bump around in. I brought my Vaporflies. I brought my Endorphin Speeds. So I was ready for all possibilities here. So I wasn't sure. I didn't want to be that guy that shows up in the Vaporfly, right? So I was like, okay, I'll throw the Saucony Endorphin Speeds in and I'll probably just run in those. But once I saw that massive table full of ASICS Metaspeed Skies, I was like, yeah, we're running in that.
I mean, there's about
for sure
15 Gs.
Oh, easy.
People. It was a little bit, maybe close to $20,000 of those ASICs on that table. I looked at it.
It was a lot. I mean, because those shoes are $250 a pop.
Yeah.
And there was probably two to three pairs of every size. I mean, and this is literally on the sidewalk in Baltimore. In Baltimore, I love you, but you can be super sketchy. And even at 9 o'clock,
I can be super sketchy.
Baltimore. I'm speaking to Baltimore at this point. So Baltimore can be super sketchy even at 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay, as you know, you had homeless dudes showing up trying to snag free beer, and Kevin's like, "Yeah, man, here you go." And I'm like, "Kevin, stop talking to people. Like, stop. Don't look at people. Don't say hi. Don't wave. I know you're Southern, but we got to shut it down in the city. Gonna get us killed."
A homeless guy approached me at 9:45 asking for a free beer.
He's like, "Hey, is this like a beer tasting?" Kevin's like, "Yeah, man, here you go." Like, no.
Made his day, but then I knew I was probably extending out the hospitality, which wasn't even my hospitality, because he's like, "Oh, those shoes over there." I'm like, "Yeah, go try some on." Oh, and God, I was like, and the moment I said, like, you know what? He's gonna try those ASICs and he's going to take off and we're not going to see him.
Well, luckily there were lots of fast guys around. So anyway, so people start to show up and just kind of hanging out. So we got about an hour until we all go run. So they set up this really sweet little course. You just basically leave the front of the building, hang a left onto Ann and down to the water, and just it's an out and back. Really nice run. It was really hot and you're very exposed to the sun for the whole thing. But my plan was to just go pretty much run as, you know, as hard as I could really without just completely emptying the tank. I didn't want to cross the finish line on zero and all of that nonsense.
Be hurting for the rest of the day.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I felt pretty good through about the first 2 miles and then blew up pretty hard. So I ran the first 2 miles were both 6:13s. And then the third mile was like a 6:24, and I felt every bit of it too. But like I said, it was hot. I was by myself. So Ben Johnson, the social media influencer, he took off with a group of guys. I think they were either maybe college. They were young.
Yeah.
But they went out. I mean, they were flying.
It was like a pack of like five or six
guys. And they were running mid to low 16s for their pace. So they were, I could see them in front of me, and there was just me by myself for the entire run, really. And then there was a group that was pretty far back from me. So
I think the faster bastards.
Yeah, a lot of that group. I think the majority of the group was kind of right there together. So I was just in no man's land by myself. So it really was, there was no one I could key off of. There was no one I was racing with. I was just kind of running as hard as I felt like going. But the shoe felt great. The upper is fantastic, really fit my foot well. And I think it just worked with my stride a lot better without having to make some changes in order to get the shoe to operate correctly. Like, I feel like I have to change my gait a little bit with the Vaporfly, and I just didn't feel that with the Metaspeed Sky. So there might be a good opportunity. I might have to sell the old Vaporflies and get some of those bad boys because they're money.
No, I liked it. And I think that was one of the coolest things about that morning, the 5K. It started, you know, maybe it was us and one other person because they had all those shoes out there. And I think people just kind of thought that maybe you just try them on and run to the end of the street and back and give them back. But the guys, the ASICS guys, were super cool. And they're like, no, take it out on the 5K. And it's like, oh, yeah. It's like, you know, you get to take out versus the Lamborghini in the parking lot. You can actually take it out several miles. And that's what I was excited about. But then seeing all the other runners wearing those. So that was an awesome sight. You were obviously ahead of me on the run. And I think everybody's first mile and talking with so many people after the race, everybody's experience was exactly the same. It was great. That first mile, the adrenaline rush in, you know, running downhill to the water. And I mean, and by the time you got to the turnaround or right at the turnaround, man, I felt that the heat just cranked
up. Yeah, it was just an oven and there was no shade. You're just in direct sun the entire time.
Oh, it was definitely the Hurt Locker. And we do 5Ks way past that in our training runs, but that was one of the longest.
Yeah.
And I felt struggle bus 5Ks. But it was one of the funnest because you look around and it's like, oh, there's Kafuzi. Oh, there's Thomas and Robbie and Ben Johnson and Michael from Atreyu. It was just, there was just so many exciting people and, you know, to run that with. And every time I mean, unfortunately you were by yourself. So I was in that pack, you know, a little bit behind you where if I sped up, I would actually have a chance to talk to somebody for a little bit. Or if somebody was coming up behind me, they kind of would chill and talk. So it was just overall a great 5K. Probably one of the funnest 5Ks that I've ever done.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, I wish I had somebody around to kind of race with, but it seems to be par for the course lately. I'm always running by myself.
So we finish up.
Yep, so we finished up, and thank God. Do you remember the name of the taco truck people? You remember the name of their restaurant? Because let me tell you something.
It said like at the tip of my tongue.
They were an absolute lifesaver. So I get done with the race and I had not fueled like I would for a normal race. I hadn't drank enough water like I would for leading up to a normal race. and they were there. They had set up and they had said something about bringing tequila popsicles and tacos and all this stuff. Well, let me tell you something.
It was Cocina Luchadores.
Yeah, that's them.
With the tequila popsicle,
yeah,
and the tamales.
But they had some tamales. Let me tell you something. Those things were absolutely money. And as soon as we finished, I was starting to feel a little shaky. I was starting to get a little hangry. I was like, I need to eat right now. And luckily, they were they had just finished setting up. I was the first person to walk over there. I mean, they had a pretty good turnout. I mean, there was probably 100 people at this thing. And I walked right over. I was like, hey, do you have some tacos? What do you have from a food perspective? And they're like, well, we got tamales. I was like, yes, give me two of those. So they had one with some mole, both chicken. They had two chicken options, one with mole, one with the green chili salsa. I got one of each. And then they had a pork one, and those things were, they were money. Okay. Just what I needed in that moment.
That's awesome. Well, I skipped the taco and tamale truck and actually bumped into the owner and founder of the Mobtown Brewing Company and talked to him. And then I just went straight over to the Hazy IPAs.
Yeah, you made some pretty poor food decisions this weekend.
Because then after that, it was, all right, now it's time to mingle and have some fun. And I mean, goodness, it wasn't even 11 o'clock by this time. And I think I was down to my third IPA, feeling pretty good. And it was just awesome. I mean, got to meet the owner of the Mobtown Brewing Company. And then everywhere we looked, we bumped into somebody that was following the show, which was exciting. I mean,
it was so weird.
Like, who are we? I mean,
no one.
Exactly.
Absolutely no one.
We just...
We were talking to Holly and Nick. I don't remember his last name. He's a running coach. But we were talking to them in the room with the shoe wall, in the run shoe wall. And I happened to mention the show. And Holly's like, Holly, and you guys will probably know her as Fueled by LOLs. She's like, oh, yeah, I've heard of you guys. And I was like, shut. No, you haven't. Shut up.
I said that a couple of times. Yeah. I think it was Nick Clastava or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds right. Probably butchered the pronunciation.
But hey, I think I remembered it.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was really pretty neat to run into some people that had heard the show, probably mostly to do with Thomas at that. but met Kafuzi, who was super awesome. Just really laid back, dude. I mean, if you put five people in front of me and asked me to talk to each one for like 5 minutes and figure out which one had 70,000 subscribers on YouTube, he would probably not be the one that I chose.
But,
and that's not a knock. I mean, he is
the world's interesting guy.
Yeah, like dude, yeah. He's just like so laid back, and most of the time he's just kind of hanging by himself. And I was just like,
super awesome guy, man.
Really, and it was a lot of fun just talking shoes with him. We met Michael from Atreyu. Now that was an experience.
Dude, his personality, I love to death, because you talk to him and he has a triathlon background. He was the other one that had the Ironman tattoo on his calf.
Yeah.
So kind of connected with him on that, but just hearing his stories, but just, knowing a little bit about his story, how he had this awesome hot dog restaurant in Louisiana, did really well with it. He had a mentor.
I missed that part. missed this part of the story.
Well, after you meet, the founder of one of, the coolest running shoes that's out there, you kind of do a little bit of research. Like, well, how do you get to the story? So actually it was,
okay.
It was,
so this was you
it was
doing,
a day
this
after.
Is you, this is yeah, you stalking is, him. Got it.
No, this is me being like, how interested he's like, in he's story, about right? our age or a little, actually he is actually younger.
He's young, yeah.
And you're like, how the hell? But it sounded like he linked up with a pretty cool mentor that guided him towards his passion and getting into running shoe. He sold the hot dog or the hot dog restaurant business, and he's been doing this, and they've got a lot of great momentum. So yeah, with Michael was neat, but.
Well, and I actually ran into him when I got to meet him he was at the shoe wall, back at the shoe wall.
The shoe wall was where it was at.
I mean, I was probably six or seven beers deep by this point.
What kind of beers did you? You didn't have the hazy IPAs.
So fun fact about me, I cannot drink craft beers, or I call them fancy beers. I can't drink them. I'm allergic to something in them. And literally If I drink half an IPA, my entire face turns bright red. My ears are super red. And I will wake up the following day feeling like I had 15 beers when in reality I had half. So I think it's a hop thing. I'm not sure. So I actually asked Thomas where the nearest liquor store was, because in Baltimore you can only buy alcohol from the liquor stores. And he was like, well, dude, I got some Modelo upstairs in the fridge, you know, go help yourself. And so I had one, but I didn't want to be, you know, I didn't want to drink up all their booze. So I walked down, it was not even half a block, and grabbed a six pack of Bud Light. it's an easy drink, man. It's 95 degrees out there.
It was a good call. Yeah, were actually in much better shape than I was.
Yes. And that progresses throughout the day. So anyway, so I walk up on Michael and he's standing at the shoe wall and he's just taking shoes down, talking about how beautiful they are and what pieces of art they are. I mean, the guy is just exploding with passion for running shoes. It's really cool. And it was really neat to hear him stand there and talk about shoes. I mean, I know this is the geekiest thing ever if you're not like a shoe person, but
that's why we were up there. I mean, that's a lot of people's interests.
And so it was just really cool to hear him go into detail about different shoes, and not just his shoes, not just Atreyu's, not, you know, there was the artist was up there and a couple of his shoes were there, and that's, he wanted to talk about Brooks and, you know, everything else that was on this wall. So that was pretty neat.
It was. And, you know, we can't, I mean, I don't even say this, man. It was just, you know, you hear this term that where you don't ever want to meet your idols because you can be disappointed. And I've actually had that happen before.
Oh, yeah, me too. And, I mean, my dad in the music business.
And you're like, man, not that like, hey, I thought we're going to be best friends, bud. But it's just, you just expected maybe a different personality because you're so in tune with this person's, maybe their work from afar. And Thomas, Robbie, and Megan, and everybody from the Believe in the Run,
Big Run
Media, and the Faster Bastards group, which, you know, which is an awesome running club up there.
And a tribe called Run too. All of those guys were awesome too.
They were just, it was the love of everybody there. And that's what you could feel. And that was the thing that I, you know, what pulled us there to Baltimore to even go. It was like, yeah, it's just going to be a lot of like-minded people. But when you're there, literally, and this just might sound a little cheesy, but just the energy that was in that new headquarters spot, you could literally have a great conversation with somebody that you have no idea who they were, and you walk away and, man, that person was really cool.
Yeah.
And then you just want to kind of follow. I mean, you want to keep in contact. And I think that's what ended up happening is, you know, here we are, man, sad how fast a week goes by. Tomorrow right? actually be yeah. a week since we left, but how many people that we've connected on that weekend that, you know, we're cheering them on, we're sending messages to them, we're signing into their DMs and vice versa. It's just, it's great. And, you know, there's a piece there that I won't forget. It's, you know, I see, and I can see it now where it's getting towards the end of the event. But we finally had an opportunity. It was, you know, Robbie had just walked by, and we had great conversations with Robbie and Thomas throughout the day. But there was a moment where it was you and I and talking with Thomas. And for somebody that when we first had him on the show, you and I had no idea what to say. You and I were just as nervous as I don't know what, because, you know, him and his team have done such a phenomenal job. And for him to just say, you know what, there's so much space in here. You just let me know. Let us know what we can do, you know, to help you guys. And God, man, like that's something that I will carry for the rest of my life. And as, you know, we continue to just have fun and with our passions, and we'll see where that takes us. That's something that I just won't ever forget. And I think that's what that was super important about that trip. Like, yeah, we had a lot of fun. Yeah. We got hammered and we had a lot of food.
Yeah.
So, but
I had a lot of food.
Yeah, a lot of food.
You not so much.
We're talking about all this story, and I have yet to eat a tamale. Yes. I had yet to eat anything. Yeah. It was a hazy IPA. Yeah.
And now we're at like 3 o'clock at this point. And no, I mean, my big takeaway from the event, which again was just it met all of my expectations, which were pretty high. I was really excited about this. And, you know, my takeaway was the community is very healthy. The running community is incredible. And I think it's amazing what Believe in the Run has done for the running community there, especially in Baltimore, but you know, not just in Baltimore. You saw people that were coming from all over the country. You know, Kafuzi lives in Chicago. Ben Johnson lives in Minnesota. Megan Featherston was there. Holly, Fueled by LOLs, came from the West Coast. I mean, these people were coming from all over to just kind of hang out for the weekend and celebrate not only Believe in the Run, but the community as a whole. And it was just really an awesome time. And yeah, what you mentioned about Thomas saying, you know, there's plenty of space for everyone. Obviously, we're not on their level. They worked really hard for a long time to build what they've built. But, you know, if we can somehow with this show, if we can somehow affect the community and somehow contribute to that community, then, you know, it's mission accomplished. Not that we had one. You know, this started out as just a passion project. And it's something that we both enjoy doing. And it's something that, you know, is kind of an outlet for both of us. But if we can have some kind of effect, then I'm stoked, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, moving away from the event, where we, you know, who else did we get to chat with there? Aldrin, Jarrett, Widefoot Jarrett, Megan Featherston. She was awesome. Megan, Thomas, you know, Thomas and Megan Murray. She was super duper cool.
Probably, I really enjoyed the nicest person out there.
I really enjoyed hanging with her. Ben Johnson, didn't really get to talk to him too much. He had his family there, so, you know, he was tending to them quite a bit. Who am I missing?
I mean, there's quite a few people. And, you know, the other piece, too, we had mentioned it earlier, but, like, yeah, who are we? We're really absolutely, you know, just, you know, two guys, two dads running. And, you know, to have people that had truly heard of us to come up to us and talk to us. There was Joseph from Jersey that actually, you know, had been following us, and we've been keeping tabs with him. And it was just a neat experience. You know, we walked away when the event finally started to shut down, just feeling inspired. I mean, I was on cloud nine from just of all the just the interesting people that we had met. And then now it's like, you know what? Let's go out and celebrate, man. Let's go out and have, you know, a good time out in B-more.
So we did. No one calls it B-more. Call it Charm City or Balmer. Yeah. Anyway, so we leave the event. We walk down to Fells and stopped into a pretty nice little burger joint. Our server was pretty cool. She lived on a boat or something and just kind of bounced around, but she was pretty funny. Kevin.
She lived on a boat?
You don't remember that?
No.
We had an entire conversation about this.
Yeah, maybe she, you and her. Well, this is the time. And so, again, I have yet to still eat.
You're pretty foggy.
I have yet to eat anything at this point.
So
we did the 5K.
Yep. Yeah. So we got some burgers. Got
she lived
Kevin.
On a boat?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's not all that uncommon up there.
Oh, well, no. I think if I would have heard that, I would have been interested to hear more about it.
Yeah. But she was an interesting character. I liked her a lot.
No, she was really cool. Yeah. She just called it like how it was.
Oh, yeah. For sure. But got Kevin a couple of orange crushes.
Those were freaking phenomenal.
Money, right?
Oh, man.
So I ordered ordered one for Kevin as well. And so she walks away and he's like, what is it? Like the soda? And I just kind of laughed. I was like, no, Kevin, not like the soda. Just, I was like, you'll like it. Trust me. But anyway, so we got a couple of those guys.
So you can order, just real quick. So you can order, you just go to Baltimore, typically any spot in Baltimore.
Virtually anywhere in Baltimore.
An orange crush?
Yeah. And there's even some spots down here. I mean, anyone can make it, but there's some spots down here that have brought it down. Sup Dogs in Chapel Hill is one of those spots. Yeah.
Oh, I saw her squeezing Brett, the orange. And,
yeah. Brett from Sup Dogs. He is from Northern Virginia. He was a radio producer for 106.7 The Fan, and his brother had started this restaurant in Greenville at East Carolina, and his brother tragically passed away in a fire in his home. So Brett quit the radio thing and came down here to continue his brother's restaurant. So anyway, Brett's awesome, but you know, we got a couple of Orange Crushes, got Kevin some Natty Bow.
By that time, I mean, I was definitely hammered because I finally got to eat and
yeah.
And the Natty Bow,
there's not much to, I mean, it's a light beer. It's just
like your normal
Bud Light. Yeah. It's not the
best. I don't
even
think I finished it,
but you didn't. I think I did, but it's a Baltimore staple. You can't go to Baltimore and not have a Natty Bow. That's pretty much the only place you can buy it, I think. In the greater Baltimore area, it's probably not a bad thing.
City limits.
But so we finished that off and then went back to the hotel. Kevin passed out for a couple of hours, and I knew if I did that, that's a wrap. I'm done. I'm not getting back up. The day is over. So I went down to the lobby of the hotel and grabbed the energy drink and just, you know, kept it moving. But let Kevin sleep for a little bit, and then we went out and went in search of some food. So we finally get to a spot that's not crazy crowded, because this is like 7:30 on Saturday night and Baltimore is just getting reopened, right? So this is still pretty new, with COVID and all of that stuff. Everybody's just starting to get back to normal. I definitely saw a lot more masks there than I see here. So we find a spot, Riptide, by the bay, which is a spot I had been wanting to go, because when I lived there 10 years ago, the food was money. And it wasn't bad this time, but we asked to sit outside, and the guy's like, look, dude, we are packed out there. You can sit here at this table. I have to walk by you to run back and forth to the kitchen. I'll take good care of you, but if you can sit in here, that would be awesome.
Such a lie.
No, he took care of us, but here's the thing. Kevin's lack of situational awareness caused him to go hungry. So dude comes up to the table, takes our drink order, right? You ordered a Captain and Coke, which you promptly spilled upon its arrival.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I hope he doesn't charge me for it. I was like, well, he's gonna.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
Oh, okay, well, he probably forgot.
Well, that's what we call it even after.
Yeah. So then he brings the other drink back, and the guy's like, okay, you guys ready to order? And Kevin goes, well, I think I'm going to start with a half dozen oysters, and then we'll go from there. And I'm like, I'm going to have a burger with a crab cake on top and some fries, please. And the guy's like, cool, man. Takes our order, brings the food. We basically never see him again.
And those oysters went down in like two damn seconds.
Okay. Kevin is 6'2". What, a 195?
Yeah.
You're a big dude. Six little oysters. I mean, that's not even an appetizer at that point.
And all I had at this point was just a burger.
Yeah, at 3:00.
Yeah.
And some terrible eggs at breakfast. So this is 7:30 and 8:00 at night. So I guess I had gone to the bathroom at some point when another transaction happened. And
I finally put in my damn food order,
which was a bowl of soup.
I mean, it was like
the hell, dude. You ordered a bowl of crab soup.
Yes.
When it's 95 degrees, you've been drinking IPAs all freaking day.
Yes.
And you ordered a bowl of soup.
Man, I was in my own little 5-star restaurant mind. And let me tell you,
you are so bougie.
This was like, and this place was like, I don't know.
We had been told that it was a gross party bar, which
It
wasn't gross.
It was step away from it being like,
yeah, gross. I could see it. I could see it getting there.
I mean, the music was like spring break music.
Yeah, 100%. It was party bar music for sure. But the food was good. It wasn't as good. And let me tell you something. In 2012, that place had the best burger crab cake combo you've ever eaten.
I mean, it was packed, so you know that they're doing something well.
I mean, that location.
There were some places that were like empty.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, I guess I had gone to the bathroom.
Anyway, so I failed miserably on my food.
I'm like, all right, dude, you know, you good? You ready for the check? And Kevin's like, I didn't get my soup. I said, what fucking soup?
Like I'm a 90-year-old woman. I didn't get my soup.
I said, what soup? When did you order soup? And he goes, I don't know, like an hour ago. I'm like, bro, you ain't getting that soup. That soup is a distant memory at this point. And so dude comes back and I'm like, hey man, can we get our check? And Kevin's like, you can just take the soup off.
And he was like, oh yeah.
Oh, the soup. The soup wasn't on there anyway. Just
it wasn't even on just because that check came back in like 2 seconds.
That shit never got rung in.
It didn't.
Period. I mean, as a restaurant business lifer, that never happened, right?
Nah.
So then we leave, and we had been invited to Robbie's house to just kind of hang out, low key hang out, finish up some of the beers from the event earlier in the day.
Yeah, Mob Town had their keg.
Yeah, so
or they had their.
Mob I mean, there was keg. Still quite a bit left in both of those, and Robbie was kind enough to make a run for some Bud Lights for your boy. Because I can't. It was very cool of him to do that. So thanks, Robbie. But we hung out for a little bit, talked some shoes, drank a couple more beers, and then it was time to shut it down. It'd been a long day.
It was, man. But that was. You know, that I will tell you, I will never, ever forget that night, the way that we just kind of hung out at Robbie's house. And again, Robbie, thank you for opening up your house to us.
To put a couple of randos.
I know, right?
A couple of randos from North Carolina. Come on over, boys, drink some beers. Sure.
But it was so cool, man, just to hear the stories, to hear, you know, Kafuzi, who's training for his first triathlon, which is the Lifetime Series triathlon in downtown Chicago. That's always a fun one. It gets a lot of people out there, so it can be very intimidating. So, you know, just kind of talk to him to see how his training is going and give him some pointers. And then Thomas to, you know, just kind of hear what's new with him.
Well, Kafuzi sucks at swimming too, so we had a moment. We bonded.
Yeah, no, I mean, not too many people, you know, unless you've swam your entire life. I mean, most people are just, you know, average, or they've learned how to swim, but when you go swim competitively, it's something different. But yeah, no, talking with, I mean, there's just so many
listening cool to those two, Thomas and Kafuzi, talk about shoes was pretty damn cool.
I mean, I literally just sat back and listened to them quite a bit, but then talking with Robbie and then one of Robbie's best friends who was a drummer in their band, talked about that.
Yeah, that dude was cool. You remember, what's his name?
I don't, but I've been trying to, because we'll reach out to, like, hey man, definitely want to keep in touch.
I'm sure we can find out.
But the name of the band was called Farewell Flight, and just to kind of hear the story, how they started, and then how they broke off from the band, and how they toured quite a bit. And actually, I wanted to, because it's an indie rock band, which is the music I listen to. I mean, I listen to everything, but I definitely listen to indie rock, and I would go see those type of shows. And I saw a couple of music videos and saw Robbie, saw the guy, the drummer in it. It was, I mean, it was good music and it was a cool video. And we only hung out there for just, I think it was just like a couple hours, if that. But no, I'll walk away from that night being, I mean, you know, in the circle that we're sitting in, and every single person was very super interesting in their own way. And, you know, you think about the thing, you know, you and I talk a lot offline with some of the things that, you know, we go through with our, you know, with our work and with our family. And it's just like, man, you know, just to kind of share kind of the same stories, but just see, you know, how it's done differently was definitely inspiring.
Yeah, for sure. So then we call an Uber and take the Uber back to the hotel. So we get back to the hotel. It's probably about 11:30.
I don't remember too much of that part.
Yeah, it was 11. It was 11:30. Now we approach the part where Kevin tries to get us murdered or robbed or possibly both.
Because I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Now.
So Kevin's hungry from his poor decisions.
Because all I've had at this point the entire Saturday from when we've woken up was an everything bagel with cream cheese. Did the 5K and that, like, just hot, humid.
A million IPAs. We had some oyster fritters and burgers at lunch.
Yep. A couple orange crushes. Captain and Coke.
And six oysters.
That's all I've had. So, and this is now, close to midnight.
Yep. So it's about 11:30 and we walk into the hotel. And the hotel has the normal kind of setup like all the hotels do now, where they have chips and candy and microwavable stuff and whatever. So Kevin's like, man, I'm hungry. I'm like, well, you better get your ass some of this microwavable soup or whatever and let's call it a day. And he's like, no, man, I'm like hungry. I said, okay, well, bro, I don't know what to tell you. So he's on his phone. He's looking for food. He's like, well, what about this place right over here? It was right around the corner. I said, all right, I'll go check it out with you. We walk in, walk up to the bar, and the lady's like, yeah, kitchen's closed.
The website said it was open.
Yeah, the website said it was open, but it's COVID, whatever.
Update your shit.
Yeah, well. So then he's still looking, and we're walking around, and I'm, you know, at least in this part of town, it's not, there's not a lot of people running around. It's, you know, it's pretty well lit, so I'm not too sketched out yet. Well, then he starts going, well, hey, let's walk down here. I'm like, dude, that's walking to Fells from Little Italy, which is not terribly far, but still. Baltimore, again, I love you, but it's one of the most dangerous cities in the country. And so, begrudgingly, I agree to walk down to Fells to this pizza place. And that was the only reason I agreed, because I was like, you know what? I could go for a slice too. So we're walking, and Kevin, we get about halfway there, and Kevin starts to realize that maybe this wasn't the greatest idea. So we can see the police helicopter circling above.
Oh, yeah.
With the spotlight on, right? So they're doing some crowd control. And then we come out into, I think that's called Broadway. And everything just opens up there. And Kevin's eyes just go wide. He's like, oh, shit, what is this? I mean, there is a
girl. We don't belong here.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty wild scene. And, of course, the pizza place was closed. I mean, it looked like they had locked the doors.
Hours early.
No, like 2 minutes before we walked up. They were still in there clean. They were just getting cleaning and stuff like that. And actually, a dude, I don't know if you noticed this, but a dude came walking up behind us, knocked on the door, and they actually let him in.
Ah. Oh.
Yeah, so I don't know if he ended up getting food. I don't think he got food. Then maybe they knew him. I don't know. But he literally walked up right behind us, knocked on the door, and they let him in.
Yeah.
So anyway, so feeling defeated and quite aware that he had screwed up by having us walk here at midnight now in Baltimore, Kevin's like, yeah, I just got us an Uber. But you can't get down into Fells, this part of Fells, at that time of night. With a vehicle. So we had to walk back up to Eastern and Broadway and find our Uber, which that was probably a $20 Uber to go.
$20.
Not even half a mile.
Definitely worth losing your life. Or definitely.
Not being murdered. Not exactly. And left in an alleyway. Yeah. So long story short, you ended up eating soup anyway.
Exactly.
We ended up in the same spot eating some soup, some Campbell's soup from the microwave in the lobby of the hotel.
And that's a wrap. That's exactly.
Way to go.
I didn't realize it.
I was like, yeah, your brother, you enjoy your soup. I'm going upstairs.
I was on a hunt for some damn soup.
My head was already pounding. I was like, the hangover was already setting in, even though I hadn't stopped drinking that much before.
Yeah.
It was already there.
Yeah.
So I took it back to the room, shut it down.
Shut it down, got up early, made the hangover trip back home, and...
Yeah, that was rough.
It was.
I had to drive.
Thank you for driving my car, because I was getting the shakes, and then finally, which I haven't had in forever... But a double quarter pounder.
Some Mickey D's. Bring you back to life. Hell yeah.
It brought me back
to
life.
All that sugar and all that sodium just
feel like the Hulk. Just like, all right, yes. I can take over now and drive.
Good to go. And so, that was when I started to fade.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was down for the night at 7 p.m. on Sunday. That was a wrap.
Mine was 7:50, literally. Yeah, because I think I told you that was exactly 7:50.
Yeah.
Because Adria had gotten back earlier that afternoon, too, from her bachelorette trip down in Charleston. So we hung out with the girls for a little bit. They were tired because they were at the grandparents, and it just worked out well. But, you know, now that we're days removed, you know, what's kind of sticking out now? What's kind of been some of the cool things that have happened over the last few days since we've been back?
Like I said, the takeaway was just how fun it was. And some of the people that we met, hint, hint, some of these folks are going to be on the show coming up soon.
Oh yeah.
So that'll be some fun times, chatting with them about how they've kind of built what they've got going on and maybe talk about some nutrition backed by science this time.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Love all the perspectives. I know what you're referring to.
It was just such a fun time. And coming back has really rejuvenated me for all of this, for the show and for, you know, spending some more time focusing on the social media piece and putting out some content. Maybe it's not always the best, but some is better than none, and trying to be creative with it and documenting different things, different parts of our training and things like that. One thing that was said that was really cool, that really stuck with me, was that we come at this from maybe a different perspective as some other people do, as some other podcasts and things like that, where we talk to some people that maybe you don't hear on other shows. And I thought that was really cool. I thought that was part of one of the coolest moments of this entire show, of the whole thing, right? Is it someone saying that? It was everything that I had kind of built it up in my head to be, which it's not often that things live up to those expectations of when I'm really excited about something. And I was proud of myself because sometimes I can be a little withdrawn when I don't know someone. I don't necessarily go up and, hey, I'm great, nice to meet you. But once I have that introduction, I'm fine. Talk to anybody. I was a bartender for 5 years. But I'm not always great with that initial introduction. So I was proud of myself for being, you know, in the moment.
Yeah, and you got out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, a little bit. But I think part of what made me so comfortable was knowing that we were all there with a common interest. We all, right off the bat, everyone there has something in common, right? So that was cool. But yeah, now it's just training, getting ready for the race, and trying to come up with some cool shit to talk about on the podcast.
Cool.
So how about you?
The walk, I mean, just over the last few days, just the connections with the people that we met and following their journey. And a lot of them are actually racing themselves, or they have upcoming races. So just cheering them on, and they've started to cheer us on our journey, and really just where this could actually go. That we want to just continue to have fun with it and learn and be able to, hey, maybe drop some knowledge on a few people and on us. You know, it was neat to have the Speedland guys on there. You know, I think we were able to kind of pull some stuff out of them a little differently from the other people that have spoken with them. So just to have fun with the people that, you know, care to join us. And if there's anybody out there, again, like we've always asked, that you guys, meaning the listeners, want us to reach out to and speak to, hit us up and great. Yep. Until next time. Yeah. We've got a lot of stuff to do, and we'll definitely have more stuff to talk about, but where can everybody find the Two Dads Run podcast?
Yeah. So before we do that, I do want to shout out,
I
do want to shout out one person in particular that we haven't mentioned already. And I apologize. I was several beers deep, so I don't remember his name, but Jay Pressa.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that right? That dude was awesome. He and his brother, just chatting with them was really cool. So what's up, boys? It's nice meeting you guys. But if you guys want to check us out on social media, please go to Two Dads Run Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find us on YouTube. We haven't really been active much there, but we are going to change that here pretty soon. And also, please don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you find your podcast. Obviously, you're already here. But if you wouldn't mind giving us a rating, 5 stars, please, that would be super awesome of you. And leave a review if you feel so inclined. But until next time, Kevin, see you next week.
All right. See you guys.